Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching iTunes for Radio Le Mans or visiting radiolemans.com.
The Hourly Update, powered by Audi.
It's 6:30 Central European time. We have 8.5 hours remaining in the 83rd running of the 24 Hours of Le Mans. And it's time now for our traditional bottom of the hour update. Nico Hülkenberg continues to lead in the number 19 Porsche. He has less than a minute lead over the number 7 car of Marcel Fassler. Fassler has pitted, so that lead will expand out a little bit. The third-place car is currently the number 9 Audi, with Philippe Albuquerque behind the wheel of that car. The number 17 car is the red and white Porsche, is currently piloted by Mark Webber. He is in fourth position overall. Then we have the two teams that have had a little bit of trouble, the number 8, who hit the guardrail during a slow zone, at the end of a slow zone. Alex DeGrassi behind the wheel of that car. Luca DeGrassi, sorry about that, in the number 8. And then the number 18 car, which also had a trip to the tire barrier, Romain Dumas behind the wheel of that car, and Romain was driving when that happened. Mike Conway is in the first of the Toyotas, number 2 in 7th position. Then Sebastian Buemi is in 8th in the other Toyota. So it's currently Porsche, 2 Audis and Porsche, all on the lead lap, all still at the pointy end here with 8.5 hours to go. In P2, as it has been since the first session on Wednesday, it's been the 47 car, Mark Howson behind the wheel of the KCMG entry. They have led the entire race so far. The 26 car, that's the G-Drive car, the Ligier. Sam Bird behind the wheel of that car is holding down second position. They're a lap back. And then a further lap back, Karen Shandock in the number 48 Murphy Prototypes. That is a car that has had a rough week. They totally almost destroyed the car during practice and qualifying. They've got the car back together and are having a great run so far in this race. In GTE Pro, the Ferrari, number 51, has taken over the top spot. Giancarlo Fisichella behind the wheel of that car. And then in second place is Jordan Taylor in the remaining Chevrolet Corvette. If you were not with us earlier in the week, you don't know that the 63 car did not start today's race after Florian Magnussen had a horrific crash in the Porsche curves. He's okay. The car was not repairable. And in third in GTE Pro is Christensen in the Porsche number 91. That's the remaining of the Porsche entries in the GT category. The 92 car went up in flames in the very early laps of this race with Patrick Pile behind the wheel. In GTE Am, it continues to be an Aston Martin show. Pedro Lamy leads the number 98 car. He's just made a pit stop, but he will continue to hold the lead over Andrea Bertolini in the number 72 Ferrari. And in third place is yet another Ferrari, the number 71. It's the number 77 Porsche. Patrick Long behind the wheel of that Porsche, and they are currently 29th overall. So with 8 hours and 25 minutes to go, that is your hourly update.
The hourly update on Radio Le Mans with Audi TDI, Vorsprung durch Technik.
So 91.2 FM Mobile One Radio Le Mans. From our Mobile One Broadcast Center, I'm Jim Roller along with Sam Collins and Paul Truswell. Let's check in our Nismo pit lane, because while we were doing the hourly update, has kind of been the situation with the timing of the pit stops. We had the 17 car come in.
Yeah, as well as the 17 car, which just came in and took on fuel and then left within the space of not very long, probably about 16 seconds static. You also significantly had the leader of the P2 class. That's the KCMG Orica car 47 that came in, and again all that did was take on a fresh tank of fuel and had its windscreen cleaned. And further down the pit lane, I think Bruce, who's just got up after a little rest, and I think he had a Ferrari pit stop.
Yes, I did. Back in the pits, enjoying it again. Little attempt at sleeping didn't work very well. No sleeping at all if you're at AF Corsa, because in for exactly the same sort of pit stop. Fuel only for GTE Pro class leader Giancarlo Fisichella, going great guns in the 51.
If it happens in the pits, you'll hear about it first. Nismo. Eat, sleep, race, repeat. Eat, sleep, race, repeat.
It's kind of the Mobile One Radio Le Mans theme song, isn't it? Eat, sleep, race, repeat. Eat, sleep, race, repeat.
They were actually they were playing that in the Nismo garage.
Were they really?
The mechanic, the mechanics were saying that there's no sleep.
I was going to say, I'm not quite sure where the sleep bit came from.
I think it's a bit more like insomnia. I can't get no sleep than the eat, sleep, race, repeat down in Nismo garage. These guys have worked absolutely flat out to keep those two. There's still two of those Nismo GTRs in this race, and they are actually going quite quickly by their standards. We've seen some 3:38s on those cars. For the Nismo GTR, it's about as fast as they can go here at Le Mans. But Paul, you had a, just while before the Audi update, you came to me with a fantastic theory, and I think you're absolutely bang on about how the Audis can make this time back, and it's the only way they can make it back.
Well, unless we have this downpour, if the weather stays dry and there isn't a safety car, then Audi has to do something. They have to do a bit of a roll of the dice, possibly, but they have to start optimising things. And to my way of thinking, the first thing that they need to do is to start putting five stints onto a set of tyres. If Porsche can put four on, and they have been doing all night, then there's no reason why Audi shouldn't put five on. And there's time in the stints. Last stint that we had there, where Benoit Treluet handed the car over to Marcel Fessler, and I thought that might be the opportunity for Lina to do that. And I'm sure she's thought about it, because she's not a stupid girl. And she's obviously rejected the idea, because Treluet was only in the car for a tad under 3 hours. He could quite easily have been out for another full stint, and I'm sure the tyres would last. But maybe they're not sure themselves that the tyres will last, and they don't want to take the risk until they get that little bit closer. But the trouble is that it's not going to bring them a whole lot closer, but it could bring them 20-25 seconds closer. They're going to need to do it before the race goes into its last 6 hours. If they can do it, then they need to do it before the race goes into its last 6 hours. The other thing is that's going to happen, just to briefly kind of switch this around, is that as the temperatures go up, so the Porsches are going to go back to three stinting, which is what they did earlier in the race at the start of the race.
And I think that's exactly it, because the harder of the compounds is going to be put onto the Audis, and I think maybe that's what they're waiting for, to put on that harder compound, which is likely, with the track temperature probably going to stay quite low through today, you might go onto that harder compound and you should be able to make it last for five, when Porsche may only be doing three.
Why do they have to do it before the 6 hour mark?
Just because in order to gain back the time that they are behind, they can't just do it.
They
with
need
one,
more than 6 hours.
They need around that amount of time to make the gap catch up, to allow the gap to catch up.
Well, I'm getting very confused by the sky at the moment. I can see blue sky and sunshine in one direction and grey skies and rain-looking things in the other direction, with a very smug-looking Macam to my left. Shame his football team don't win things as much as he does on weather.
Wow.
Seriously, I mean, that does conjure up the possibility, Sam, that we're going to have one bit of weather on one part of the track and another bit of weather on the other part of the track. That's not the first time that would have happened.
That's always fun.
And that always makes life very difficult indeed for team managers. And one is put in mind of the original Truth in 24 movie, where there was a very big discussion going on in the garage of the Audi team about which tyres they should be putting on. And
on the radio as well.
And luckily, it's all been recorded for posterity.
One of those great Le Mans moments, wasn't it?
Well, I think it was. It was a stroke of luck at some point, but it worked. As far as Audi was concerned, it worked.
Well, just looking at the onboard of the Porsche, the red Porsche 919, the Sunderland colored car. Watching the little radio aerial wiggling around in the airflow, if you're watching the footage, you can see it rattling around backwards and forwards. That says to me the airflow at that point on the car is actually quite turbulent, which is quite draggy. So I'm quite surprised to see that. But there must be a reason to do that. So I might be using that to... That might be the downwash from the front wing being fired up towards the cockpit. It's just a little aside.
No, it's just a vibration. It's a harmonic. That's the word. It's a harmonic, isn't it?
I don't think so. No, I think that's airflow there, actually. Because okay, they're quite stiff, those little aerials.
Okay. Pit stop in the meantime.
Is that what the kids are calling it nowadays? Bruce Jones from the Nismo Pit Lane team is demanding equal time. He said that could be the Southampton or indeed the Stoke-coloured. But no, it's Sunderland. Sorry, Bruce. You're wrong.
Woking Town play in red.
That's right. It's not rugby, so.
Listen, I always think red and white is the best colour for a football team. They just get the pattern wrong up north.
listen to the gunner.
Oh, boy.
Let's head down to Bruce Jones for some serious comments from the pits.
Not that serious, I hope, but just to say, when I last started a stint, which was at, was it 1:30 this morning? That's when I came off, when it was coming after dark. The number 4 CLM was being worked on in the pit and then rejoined the race. Exactly the same has happened now. And likewise, the number 12 Rebellion that's still going, but that's had too many long periods in the garage. That too has just been pushed back onto the apron and started out again, so... You know, some teams are just being able to run without really very much of a problem at all, but sometimes when a car goes down. But may I say, I think it's astonishing at this stage in the race that we've got the 6 cars from Porsche and Audi running within a couple of laps of each other, 4 on the lead lap. I've never seen anything like it, to be honest, and the lack of retirements in this race really is absolutely tribute to the ever-increasing standards in the World Endurance Championship. It's phenomenal.
I feel like a bit of a schoolboy at the moment, passing notes around the studio amongst us, having a written debate.
Acting like schoolboys? Surely you jest.
Having a written debate.
And the debate, ladies and gentlemen, the debate continues about who was the last Formula One... No, we'll just tell him.
We'll tell him what it says. We'll read that one out.
Let's tell him.
This is John's opinion. No rain, but not as hot as yesterday.
Oh, I thought we were still arguing about the Formula One thing.
Now
we're hearing Graham Hill is the answer. We're going to go way back because Pironi hadn't won his Formula One. Now we're being Anorax.
That is a long way back, isn't it? Yeah. That's proper.
Graham Hill, the only man to win the Indy 500, the 24 Hours of Le Mans, and Monaco. The only Triple Crown winner in the history of motorsports.
He won Monaco quite a lot. He did quite well at that. Well, the TV directors picked up on something that I thought I'd noticed earlier, and I didn't think we were actually going to see at all today, but I can now definitely see it outside of the window. It's the sunshine.
Absolutely. Mm. I think that was one thing that we had earlier on. The race is certainly entering... what would normally be the time that that we call happy hour, but those of you who have got screens, normally when happy hour happens, you start getting bits of blue and bits of purple on the screen. Now, we're not getting very much of it. We've got little bits of blue appearing here and there. Mike Conway, for example, has just done the fastest lap thus far for the Toyota number 2. So he's stretching the legs of the car. Toyota number 2 has never gone as fast as that this weekend. A 3:23.241 now for that car. That's quicker than that car went in qualifying. But nobody else is. Now, that strikes me as being because they're not on the perfect tyre for the job. But there might be another reason for it.
Just one thing I'd like... I know you have at a fingertip, Paul. What was the fastest lap from a Toyota last year? And it's the same TSO4O chassis and same hybrid system, same engine. It's all been sort of... tweaked and improved slightly. I'd just like to know the fastest lap from the Toyota last year. Because
in the race or overall?
In the race. Because I don't think it's fair comparing qualifying with race with these Toyotas, because they are running to a different...
With any car.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think the conditions are relatively like for like, year on year. So I think we should really have a look at that Toyota. While Paul sort of rummages around at that, it's worth having a look at any of the potential battles brewing through the classes. And we've got into that metronome phase, Jim, where things
people are
running through a program and waiting to see what happens. There's a lot of... they're waiting, but... we mentioned the race
will start in about 4 hours.
The blue is appearing on the screen.
Yes, it is. Yes, indeed, it is starting to appear. We have, let's see, the 45 car has just turned its fastest lap at a 3:44. Car owner Ebenez behind the wheel of that car. Interesting at the front, the lead for Hülkenberg at one point was a minute and 27 seconds. It's come down to a minute and 22, but now we'll go back up because he's turning laps in the 3:19s, and that's 5 seconds faster than Marcel Fassler. So that seems to be fluctuating. I suspect that was traffic for Fassler in that car. And then Albuquerque is another... he is now a minute and 53 seconds behind Hülkenberg, but he's turning. His last lap was a 3:22, so it's going to be very interesting to see what these happy hour sprint times, split times are, stint times. There, I'll finally spit it out. Once they've been through their, an hour into their stints, and we'll get some good data from Paul. So,
at 1:22, Jim, is the gap at the moment between the number 19 Porsche and the number 7 Fassler Audi, and that is getting close to the range where you can get a free pit stop, and that will be quite an important thing.
The number 53 Viper has come into the pits. That car at one point led the AM category. It comes into the pits out of fifth place with Jerome Blinkenmolen behind the wheel. Joe Bradley.
Yeah, just listen to that. We had a little bit of wheel spin there off the apron. That car, someone's prediction, I believe, the 53 Viper, just fuel low. So those guys are still on it, still keeping to their strategy.
I think you'll find that was my prediction.
That's right. Yeah.
It was indeed.
Yep, the NASCAR writer for the...
Indeed. Race car engineering and Race Car Engineering magazine. I have a slight affinity with North Carolina. It's Mooresville, North Carolina is my second home.
Does he ever call when he's in town? And let me take him out to dinner? Does he ever come over and stay at the lake? Where you could just hang out on the dock?
Jim, I stay on the other side of the lake, mate.
It's 25 minutes, dude. Come on.
I took a little longer to get that one, and I apologise for the delay. Eventually, I get there. 3:23.112 was the fastest time in last year's race for a Toyota. Alexander Wurz, it was. So a 23.112 compares with the time we've just seen from Mike Conway, which is a 22.110. So a clear second, but only a second faster than they went during this same equivalent race last year. The average lap times, we discussed that a little bit earlier on, are around 2 seconds a lap faster than they went last year. And there's still time for an improvement, fastest lap to go in this one.
So it really just does look like the development cycle, the development curve, if you like, of these LMP1s is just... been a lot steeper than Toyota expected. And Toyota, bear in mind, at the end of last year, had the fastest car of all of the LMP1s and the most reliable. That's why they won the World Championship. And now they're looking like they're a little bit lost as we get told there is possible debris in front of us on the comment trucks. Well, I can't see any debris at all, so I think that might
this
be...
This is possible.
Yes, possible debris. This is not a very helpful message from race control, really.
Strictly speaking, it's in the little straight chute that Jim
that we
mentioned.
Can't really see.
That you can't really see that leads into the Ford chicane, because the Ford chicane is zone 35, mm-hmm. and it's the chute which is zone 34.
Oh, that debris is no longer possible. It's definite, and the yellow flag is flying down there, because I can see the green flag flying just as they come into the Ford chicane. You're quite right. It is the short chute between the Porsche curves and the Ford chicane, which doesn't really have a name. It does.
The raccordement.
That is the raccordement section.
Yes. Raccordement.
Raccordement. I don't know what that means, but that's what it's called. And I'm not quite sure where that debris's come from, because it's fairly recently been deposited, but we also haven't seen anyone come to the pits with missing pieces. So it may be that just some.
It could be a bollard. It could be a bit of circuit debris as well.
That's what I'm wondering. Someone sort of shortcutted something and deposited one of the bollards from the chicanes on the Mulsanne. Tend to drop out on that section as people come out of the Porsche curves. Look at that. The lap times for Hülkenberg still doing 3:19.
That seems to be his sweet spot.
That's fast.
That seems to be his sweet spot. He seems to be very happy there. And he has now caught up to the 17 Porsche and is just put him a lap down like he was tied to a post.
Well, they do mean it with this debris in the exit of the Porsche curves and the run up here to the Ford chicane. So they've now thrown a yellow out, and there are slow zones coming being enforced in that section. So we still haven't really seen where this debris has come from, but I'd rather suggest it's a bit more than track debris.
Yes, indeed. If they need to do a slow zone, I'll go along with that. It might help a little bit the number 9 Audi, for that is come towards the end of its current stint, and so that'll be Felipe Albuquerque coming in to, by all that's right in the world, hand the car back to René Rast. Albuquerque having done a quadruple stint at the wheel of the number 9 car. Lucas Degrassi in the number 8 is already in the pits.
And Joe Bradley's there.
Yes, and while the Audi pit stop is just about coming to an end, the Murphy prototype car 48 with Karen Chandok took on fuel and it's back out. A little bit of oil replenishment going on the number 8 Audi just at the end of the pit stop. I believe a driver change. Is that Oliver Jarvis who have got into that car?
Yeah.
Oliver Jarvis it is, into the number 8 and out of the number 8 is a very sweaty Lucas Degrassi, I think. And as ever with the big teams like Audi and Porsche, the drivers get out and go straight out the back. Now, they're not being antisocial. They are being monitored by the team doctors, because they don't just monitor the data on the cars, they're monitoring the data on the drivers as well, would you believe? The human element is what is being looked at with regards to. You heard a driver during the race, I don't know who it is, who mentioned he lost 1 kilogram of weight, during the race, during a stint. That's incredible. We've got some debris on the track. I'll go back to Sam. Sam, I think you're shouting
it looks,
debris.
It looks like the piece of the rear deck of the number 7 car may have come off, and that could be the debris that has caused the slow zone in section 31. That's the run-up to the Ford chicane in the short chute. We're trying to wait for a shot of the car going away. But, yeah, I think I saw the same thing you saw, Sam, and it'll be interesting to see if we ever get a pan and see the back of the car.
It looked like the whole right rear of the engine cover had blown off that Audi R18, and I don't think Fassler realises he's lost that bodywork. I don't think Fassler knows it's his bodywork. I'm not entirely sure Audi Sport have realised that it's a bit of their car that's rattling around in the Porsche curves.
Let's go back to Joe Bradley, and the 9 car is in.
Yeah, we've got a flurry of Audi pit stops this time. It's the number 9, and you can hear in the background the wheel guns going off. That's about done. Driver change I'm not sure about. I was too busy being stuck in the number 7 pit. But we're just about finished with this one. Number 9 about to go off. It's Jacks. Again, oil replenishment. Not always done, but this time for the number 9 it is, as was the number 8. And that was the car in the background. Now, I'm not sure if we saw a driver change there.
There should have been a driver change. There should have been René Rast getting into the car, Joe. So René Rast taking that one over from Felipe Albuquerque. Albuquerque spending just a tad under 3 hours behind the wheel as well.
And we have visual confirmation now. The European tape apes, not quite as quick as the ones that John's used to working with, but they did find the... It's the
wheel cover off the right rear wheel that has blown off the back of the Audi number 7.
Well, as John's just pointed out to me, you see on the Duke studio cam, that's a single piece of bodywork.
Right.
That's not a multi-piece section like you see on the dome. That is one piece of car. The whole engine cover and both rear wheel covers come as one unit. The whole back of that car has been shredded by something.
So something's broken there. So either it's just been fatigue or it's hit something.
Now let's see if he comes in the pits, because I'm not entirely sure Fazla has any idea. He's been driving away, and yes, he is in the pit, so they have picked up that he is coming in.
So this is the second problem now for the 7 car that they have had to drive through. The first was the puncture, and now he's coming into the pits, and in fact, the whole right-hand side from where the door
that's the refueler,
seam is all the way back from the refueler all the way back to the rear bodywork. That is gone.
And I don't know if the pit lane guys are down there, but the crew did not look like they were ready. They were not nobody didn't look like they were expecting that car to come in, because they were rushing out from the back of the car.
Joe Bradley's there.
Oh, no, they're expecting it. They've got new bodywork, new rear bodywork section, and the modular section that houses the rear diffuser and rear wing. They're also ready with the dollies. The car up on its air jacks now. They've gotten the fueling done as ever, and the rear bodywork section is damaged from internally. It looked like no external damage. It looks like it's kind of imploded on itself. So whether they've had a failure of some sort, suspension failure or a puncture, I'm waiting to see. The tyres looked intact and they came off, and it's the right rear wheel is not coming off. The right rear wheel is not coming off. The bodywork is stuck. Hard to see whether or not there was what was the cause of that, but certainly the right-hand side of that rear bodywork is absolutely shattered. And now we're getting, it's a bit of a scrum down here, as you'd imagine, because the car's being shuffled around. And now they go to work on seeing what caused that.
And boy, you can really hear the shouting in the garage area. They are really having at each other, as well as the back of the car.
Yeah, they're struggling to get the rear modular diffuser and rear wing, which of course has all sorts of clips and tubes attached to it. That's the new section being put to the car. Now this is the tester. If it goes straight back on, then there isn't any damage to where the fittings are and where the pegs and the locators are, and it has gone straight back on. So still a puzzle why. Maybe this has got to be damage caused by another car. He's got to have been hit in the rear end. And that rear section of the, which houses the diffuser and the rear wing, has gone onto the back of the car. Now a new engine cover, piece of carbon fibre, is being readied. Again, the tester will be whether that fits straight on. They're still trying to connect the rear section. They're not ready for the engine cover quite yet. The clock is still ticking, and it looks like a right job they've got there. Now, this is what I was seeing. If things have been ripped off and damaged, it won't just plug back in. And they're not. Nothing's plugging back in on that rear section. And now they're looking at the engine itself and the ancillaries around the engine.
3 minutes already in the pits for that car.
That's a horrendous amount of time.
That's a lap.
It's not near ready yet, because they're not ready for the rear engine cover. They're still working on whatever it is that's damaged, and they're still trying to identify any potential damage.
Joey, can you see the right? Can you see the right rear wheel?
Yes.
Have they managed to get that changed?
Yes.
You're saying they struggled to get it off. So they have managed to do that. Okay.
It looked like he was trying to get the wheel off. He wasn't. He was trying to get the rear, the engine cover off, I should say. Now the brand new wheel and tyre on the right rear. It's not the suspension's fine. Everything on the main part of the car's fine. They're now fiddling with tiny little bits and pieces around the engine. So it's hard to see exactly what that could be. I'm obviously shielded from seeing exactly what they're fiddling with. Maybe it's some kind of loom that links the rear of the car to the front of the car. So while this number soaks up the clock and loses over a lap in the pit, we'll wait and come back to me, guys, and I'll give you an update as this progresses.
If it happens in the pits, you'll hear about it first. Nismo. Eat, sleep, race, repeat. Eat, sleep, race, repeat.
The RadioLeMond.com forum is full of people just like you.
People who have opinions and aren't afraid to share them, just like you.
People who love all forms of motorsport, just like you.
At the track, on the radio, online.
Go to RadioLeMond.com and click on the forum button.
RadioLeMond.com. The home of endurance racing. RadioLeMond.com.
The Mobile One Radio Le Mans for 2015 on 91.2 FM around the world on the World Wide Web at RadioLeMans.com on Sirius 93 and XM 201. Jim Roller coming to you from the Mobile One Broadcast Center along with Paul Truswell and now Paul Tarsi, who has made it stop. And we have drama, 8 hours to go, and finally we have the first real big bit of drama. Let's go back to Joe Bradley for an update on what's going on with the 7 car, who has now dropped to fourth position.
It's about to be wheeled out. The engine cover has gone back onto the car. It's about to be wheeled out onto the pit apron. It's already been fueled. The team fueled the car as soon as it arrived. They didn't go and address any of the issue or damage. They put the fuel in and there's some kind of holdup. I've been ushered out of the way because the car was about to be pushed out. It's not being pushed out quite yet. So still, it sits in the garage. That was the Straka in the background. This number 7 Audi, though, is not out on the apron quite yet. It's still in the garage.
And while that was going on, all the drama up at Audi, we had the race leader come in. That's Nico Hülkenberg in the number 19, the white Porsche 919. Simple refueling and the German goes back on his way. He's really stringing together some very good laps. And in terms of housekeeping, we had Pat Dempsey take over from Pat Long in the Patrick Dempsey entered Proton Porsche. And unfortunately, more troubles for Pegasus Racing. We had David Cheng hop out. Ho Pin Tung got into the LMP2 Morgan, but they're then pushed him back into the garage and the bodywork's been up for about 2 or 3 laps. Joe.
Yes, the number 7 has just left, and the last-minute touches, as we thought it was about to be wheeled out, the last-minute touches was, would you believe, a bit of black tank tape at the front of the engine cover where it attaches to the main monocoque, just to keep that down. I think it was the damage that had been caused, maybe to a retaining clip, and they weren't able to use the actual clip, so they've basically banged on some tank tape there to keep that in place. But that number 7 is now resumed. So Lena Gade in conference now with Ralf Jüttner and just perhaps debriefing on exactly what the problem was with that car. Still yet to find out what caused it, though.
It was 7 minutes in the pits all together there, Joe, and of course the first thing that happened as soon as Marcel Fessler, who took the car back out again, he brought it in, he's taking it back out again, the first thing that he came across was a slow zone running through the Dunlop curves, the new bits of the circuit going through what were the Forest S's, but he's now up to full speed again and is tramping on, but he has lost out and is now the third of the 3 Audis, 2 laps behind the race leader, and to all intents and purposes they're not going to be able to catch that back, and all they can hope for is just to score some points for the World Endurance Championship.
Let's go back to our Nismo pit lane. Bruce Jones has a word on one of our dark horses in the P2 category, the number 45.
Well, I was just wondering. I saw the bodywork being shifted by that marshal very bravely from the track that caused the slow zone. It seemed to be part of a wing, and it was yellow. So either it came off the Corvette or it came off number 45. So we'll have to wait and see. But I can't think of many other yellow cars. You have a scratch of your head. Slight problem for car 13. That was the better placed of the Rebellions, and that's been pushed back into the garage. The front bodywork's off that. They're looking at the front suspension. Yeah, right in front suspension, they're working away. Yeah, I can see who's filming it now. I'm standing just behind them.
That car had a very slow lap back into the pits, Bruce.
Yeah, it had damage to the right front while the drama was taking place with the number 7 car. We saw that car have an off-track excursion after the what looked like the right front suspension had a little bit of damage, contact with something. So, Paul Tarsi, good morning. Welcome back. And not much has changed, huh?
Good morning, old chap. It is a bright and lovely morning. And isn't it strange how at Le Mans, year on year, you get to this point where the sun's coming up and the place is coming alive. It is beginning to take on its Sunday best clothing. And there is always something happens.
And somebody's world goes away. Ah, it is the 45 car, Bruce Jones. Good spot. He was tagged. He tagged the front end of one of the AM Ferraris as he was going by through the Forest S's. So good spot by our man in the Nismo pit lane, Bruce Jones. But it is now going to be hero time for the number 7 car if they are going to win this race. I think that it is going to take a Herculean effort at this point. That's just about done it. Let's check in with Joe Bradley real quickly.
Yeah, just hopefully Martin Pass is listening. Everyone has just disappeared to the back of the garage, and I think Martin isn't listening because he's took his Radio Le Mans radio out of his ear. I can just see everyone, including Dr. Ulrich, Ralf Jüttner, they've gone way out the back to maybe find out not just what caused that, but how they can rectify this and change tactics to maybe claw that back. Well, that's a big ask, isn't it?
7 minutes, yeah. What was the total time, Paul? Was it 7?
Total time in the pits was 6 minutes and 56 seconds. The in-lap was not particularly slow, obviously. Sam was saying, Marcel Fessler really did press on in that last lap into the pits, and it was as if he didn't even know that there was anything wrong with the car. In fact, his in-lap was 3:37. Yeah, maybe it was 5 seconds slower than you would normally expect for an in-lap, but nothing really very much. I'd say the killer was really that 6 minutes, very nearly 7 minute pit stop. So I think really, in terms of cars for the lead, Jim, we have only 3 cars left on the lead lap now, 2 Porsches against 1 Audi.
And it is the it's kind of the youngster Audi. Rene Rast is behind the wheel of that car right now. He's teamed with Philippe Albuquerque and also Marco Bonanomi. Yeah, and that is the car also that has the kind of the gray eminence in the background is Brad Kettler, a man with a lot of experience. He's also very good at coaching young drivers and keeping them focused in this huge event.
You know, the only reason that Rene Rast got the drive in that car?
Probably Brad Kettler.
No, the only reason was because his name was the only name they could find that was short enough to fit on. Once they had Felipe Albuquerque and Marco Bonanomi on the door, the only driver's name that would fit on the side was Rene Rast.
You've been going for this long, and you can still think of that angle. I love that, Paul.
Yeah. Second place in LMP2 is the Ligier, number 26, the G-Drive car. Sam Bird's currently behind the wheel, but I think Julian Cannell is with Bruce Jones.
Julian Cannell, it's going very well for the G-Drive Ligier, 26. You're in second place. Are you closing or holding station?
We push. We are... We had a little issue with the refueling, beginning of the race, and some bad thing with the belts. We lose many time with this, and we push all the night with Sam and Roman. And me, I have to, not to finish, but to work a lot. During my teammates, after they have to sleep a little bit, because Sam finished with 4:14, I think. No, we don't. We have to push a lot to rejoin the first place. We hope we are. We hope that the weather is stable.
You're the next driver in the car, clearly. You're the next driver in the car.
Yeah, next driver. I will do 2 stints. After it's Roman 3, and after me again, 2 stints. So we have to push. We are in the last part of the 24-hour race. Maybe the hardest part. So we push.
Still 8 hours. Best of luck. Thank you, Julien.
Yes, Bruce, that's correct. 8 hours, 7 minutes, 50, 7 hours, 50 minutes to go. Currently, the 47, Mark Howson behind the wheel of that KCMG entry continues as they have all week to lead the P2 category. Then that number 26, Ligier, Sam Bird behind the wheel. Then the 48, Murphy Prototypes, Karen Shandock behind the wheel of that car. And then kind of my dark horse pick. They were kind of quiet throughout qualifying. The 38 car, the Gibson, Oliver Turvey behind the wheel right now, that Jota Sport car, the defending race winners. They're there. If there's a problem for any of those first three, they'll be there with a podium.
But that's all the way through the field we're seeing that. And I can't believe that two-thirds of the way through this race and up at the front of the field, we're talking about that only, in inverted commas, being three cars on the lead lap. And that we've seen, therefore, it's been so close all the way through. And just that little sneeze that we saw for the... For the second place, as it was, Audi, is tumbled it down the field.
Busy times for the folks in the Rebellion pit. The number 12 car came in a little while ago with... actually, the 13 came in a little while ago with damage to the right front suspension. And now the number 12 has made a call to the pits and... Bruce, they've taken it back into the garage.
They have. It looked like a standard pit stop. I was just thinking, gosh, I hope it is, because they're busy on the 13. But James Robinson, who's running the car, had just come across from the pit wall talking into the intercom. But that's to the other people in the team, because the driver's hopped out. There's obviously going to be a driver change. No one's come to the car just yet. But this is a car that has had its problems and it's dropped down the order somewhat. Looks still in fantastic state. All they're doing at the moment is changing the wheels, which and now the rear bodywork comes off. Because if they're just changing the wheels, they could have done that out into the pit lane. But in fact, it doesn't look like a lot of hurry around here. It all looks very ordered, which is good. But maybe when people aren't hurrying, it means the problem is far worse than if they were hurrying to fix it. I don't know. We'll keep an eye on that. I'll just walk across the neighbouring garage, see how they're getting on with the number 13. They're still changing... the front right corner. They're just about trying to, they're just putting it into place at the moment, mating it up for the first time. Hope they get it right. So, trouble times at Rebellion, unfortunately. Oh, and by the way, when Julien Canal said we had the little refueling problem, that'll be when the flames were licking over and under the car when Roman Rusinov was doing it yesterday afternoon.
Yes, I looked at both Pauls here in the booth when we heard him say that, and that was like the master of understatement.
a small refueling issue.
Yes, yes.
As we burn down most of Western France. So still this race has a long way to go. I know that's the cliche of the day, but it can go anyway. We are seeing just these very, very small increments, small decreases, which are making the difference. We still have Porsche, Audi, Porsche, Audi, Audi, Porsche. And anybody got any views on Toyota? Because we're seeing them in 7th and 8th position. Haven't really mentioned them much, have we?
The number 2 car hasn't really had any cause to be mentioned. The number 1 car did, because it lost a couple of laps being repaired after Anthony Davidson got a bit too exuberant with it, pushing too hard. The number 2 car got a mention as well recently, as it was one of the only cars that actually took advantage of happy hour. Mike Conway put in the fastest lap for that car, and indeed faster than a Toyota has ever been round Le Mans before, because it went round faster than the fastest lap in the race last year from a Toyota. So that kind of was reason to mention it. That was a 3 minutes 23. 3.241, I believe, for... Oh, no, it was a 322.110 for the number 1 car. And but apart from that, Paul, it's a good question, because they haven't really done anything noteworthy. Pascal Vasselon told us before the race they'd be losing 2 seconds a lap. In fact, they were losing 3 seconds a lap. So they've been way off it, and having one car that ran into trouble.
And I think you're absolutely right in terms of they haven't done anything noteworthy. They haven't done anything bad, but they haven't done anything remarkable either. And that what we've seen is a very solid state. And let's face it, for any factory team to be running in 7th and 8th position 2/3 of the way through the race is a pretty strong achievement.
But well, but when you're the defending world champions, you're getting your butt kicked.
So
you're getting your butt kicked, and that's not going to go over well in the boardroom.
No. Sorry, I mean, if the defense comes that they're 2 seconds a lap faster on average than they were last year, it's a fair defense. The fact is that everybody else has gone forward by 4 seconds a lap,
and that's motor racing. Mm. We've got that, and I think you're right, Jim, that it is about okay. So tomorrow in the boardroom on Monday, it's okay. So we spent all this money, and
what do we get?
What did we get? Yeah. Because it's not just about a win or a podium place. It's how much coverage did we get? How many? What we used to talk about is column inches.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
When there were still columns and still were inches.
In inches.
but nonetheless, what we had then was how much publicity have we got now? Comes back to what I was saying, that there they sit, 7th and 8th. The amount of column inches, or whatever the digital equivalent is, tiny, and that's what the boardroom will always look at. Strangely, what we've seen is that Nissan probably have out-qualified them in terms of column inches,
without a doubt.
And I think looking at various bits on Twitter and everything else about how these things have panned out, there's some fairly harsh comments about Nissan, but I actually take my hat off to them to get this far with a completely new car and to be brave enough to put it out in the first place. They get all the ticks in all the boxes.
Exactly. Let's go to Bruce Jones, because we have word from our Nismo pit lane team about one of these Nismo entries.
No, it is a word, but it was just a word of warning. I was waiting down to Rebellion turn around, and a very smoky Nissan came in and went up to Joe's far end of the pit lane. But I fear another problem. They had a problem with the bodywork rubbing last night. It could well be the same thing. So hopefully Joe is up in the vicinity.
I was about to say it would look like a straightforward pit stop. However, it's not. The number 22 is being wheeled in backwards alongside the number 23, which is already in there with the extensive work going on. I saw turbochargers being dismantled. I saw front end brakes being replaced. And now the 22 is in there with an issue and work going ahead on that Nissan also. The 21, of course, their garage door is shut. Sad to see. But I've got to say, there's not that many garage doors shut this year. The attrition's been somewhat on the positive side, hasn't it?
Only 10 currently officially retired. Isn't that right, Paul? Did I count correctly?
I think you probably did, yes. I haven't been down and looked at that, but I think it's certainly of that order.
My
suspicion would be that if the temperatures remain low this morning, then that will play into their hands. But if it starts to get warm, then we might see a few more retirements creeping in. Mark Webber into the pits. That's the end of his second stint behind the wheel of the number 17 Porsche, which is in third place. That car having had a 1 minute stop and go penalty earlier in the race, which was for a yellow flag infringement, and they've been trying to play catch up ever since. Can't think of any other significant delay that number 17 car has had, although as a result of this pit stop it will fall off the lead lap, because Nico Hülkenberg in the number 19 car has already been through and can take and completed another lap, and so Mark Webber has fallen off the lead lap. So here we are, little over 7.5 hours still to go, Jim, and we only have two cars on the lead lap. We were talking about the way we expect close races. And up at the pointy end, up at the front end of the P1 class, the overall result, the gaps are beginning to stretch a little bit with various little problems creeping into the race.
Let's go down for a definitive word from Nicola Prost about just what happened with the rebellion.
Nicola, they're working on the brakes at the front of the car. Is that just because the car's in the garage? What's the work being done on the back of the car? What's the main problem?
There seems to be two separate problems. We're checking the brakes because obviously a lot of smoke was coming out, and I don't know, I went straight, and when I went out, the brakes were not feeling better. And we also have an issue with the engine at the same moment, so not looking very good right now.
So bad to get through the night. Anyhow, I hope it can be fixed. Thanks for talking.
Thank you.
In watching the lap times at the front, it's very interesting. We were talking about metronomic efficiency and that sort of stuff. It's interesting. These guys have been turning, at one point, all of the top four, the 19, the 9, the 17, and the 8, all turned 319s in the range of 319.9 to 319.6. Now we've got the 19 and the 9 turning, the 19 turning a 320.440, and the 9 turning a 320.792. It'll be interesting to see what Weber does, and Oliver Jarvis in the 8 does a 319.421. So the lap times have kind of leveled out from what we saw earlier when Audi was turning faster, consistently faster lap times.
Yes, and I'm thinking back to something that Sam said, that it, you know, it's all about getting the cars onto the right compound. The trouble is when you're having to triple stint or quadruple stint the tyres, if you're on the wrong compound, then you end up being on the wrong compound for 3 hours. And if the conditions change in the course of those 3 hours, then, of course, you're fighting a losing battle anyway. So it's a real tricky thing to get the car onto the right compound for 7 o'clock in the 7 o'clock in the morning. Here we are, 20 past seven. So if you're coming in at, say, 8 o'clock, and you know they're going to still be out there at 11 o'clock, there's going to be quite a temperature change in that time. Heaven knows if it's going to rain or not, but you've got to kind of predict what's going to happen to conditions in order to get the car set up correctly.
And as we see from some of the onboard pictures, there are some ominous clouds around this circuit, but the barometric pressure has gone up in the last hour, so it was tumbling there for a while, and it did look like we may indeed have a weather system come through, but now the barometric pressure has gone back up. The humidity is almost 80%. That's now dropped down to 70%, and now as the graph pops up just at the exact right time, in the last half hour, the barometric pressure has started dropping again. So who knows what's going to happen with the weather, other than the predictable quote is it always rains at some point during this race, but maybe not this year. Maybe it'll just tease us and it'll keep everybody on the pit wall guessing, including everybody in this room.
But we've got graphs and all sorts of things which tell us about barometric pressure. It feels as if it could rain, and that sounds really stupid, but you can actually feel that pressure dropping. You can see the clouds in the sky. It's got that feeling to it. Okay, fair enough. It is only 7:30 in the morning, not even that yet. But it could easily rain. I think if it's going to, it's going to do it within the next hour or so. And I think that's going to make all the difference. But it could go any way you like.
If you have just joined us at the top of the hour, this race changed drastically when the number 7 car came into the pits with rear bodywork that had just broken away from the car. Joe Bradley, do we have any update as to what may have happened?
Yes, thanks to Martin Pass for this. Everyone's puzzled. Marcel Fassler is as puzzled as anyone because he didn't hit anything. He wasn't hit by anything. The only conclusion, and it's just pure guesswork, is that the bodywork has hit a curb or something underneath, and then in so doing, it's broken something bodywork-wise, and then the airflow is what's caused the main problems, the airflow getting into the breakage and then causing the massive amount of damage that we saw eventually the car having to pull in with. So a bit of a puzzle there at Audi, which is pretty
pretty much caused them a challenge for the lead, hasn't it?
Yeah, without a doubt. That car is now looking to have a huge comeback drive just to get on the podium if things stay the way they are at the front. Currently, car number 95, its lap number 225, is under investigation. That's one of the Aston Martins. And for exceeding track limits at the Ford chicane. So this is kind of the, I can't recall seeing anybody being warned for track limits to the point where they've had a purple sign on the timing and scoring, Paul, but I haven't been here as much as you have.
There have been a few, but not many. Right at the start of the race, there were a couple, and there was one penalty for transgressing across the pit exit line. But certainly, we've learned our lesson as far as the warnings being given out that we saw during qualifying, which is a good thing. And indeed, even this message, it is only an under investigation message. Yeah. It's not a this is the penalty, get on with it situation.
And it was the last lap by Nicky Thiem. On this lap, he's gone blue in sectors 1 and 2. So Nicky Thiem has got the bit between his teeth. Bruce Jones, you might have a theory?
Not on that one. No, I was just watching it, about to let you know that Neil Yarny's taking over the 18 Porsche, so expect the black one to really fly, because to my eye, he's the hot shot in that team. But I'm sure it was Joe who had the theory.
Yeah, I've got a theory on the track limits and why we're seeing penalties being imposed. And I think it leads to the changes that we saw, or we have seen, and the modifications we have seen to the runoffs on the Porsche curve section. They've tarmacked the runoffs there, which is going to obviously lead to race drivers and using the absolute limits of what tarmac's available. And so they'll have probably been told in the debrief or the briefing that they were going to be imposing penalties for driving outside the limits of the track. And that's not just at the Porsche curves. They've obviously got to impose penalties on limits everywhere. And we've seen that at the Dunlop chicane. We've seen it at Turt Rouge. And we've seen it at the Ford chicane. And I think the least areas where we've seen penalties being imposed for are indeed the Porsche curves.
Yeah, because you can't put a foot wrong there and get away with it, even though they have paved the runoff area.
But it's absolutely right that should be taking place, that you cannot do what they've done at the Porsche curves to make it safer and then to have everybody actually just taking the mickey by running all over the new paved area.
The 18 car has come in. Romain Dumas has been replaced by Neil Yanni. That's that car's 21st pit stop. They were in the pits for a minute and 20 seconds for fuel, tires, and driver change.
And also in the pits within the last couple of minutes, Jim, is the leading GTE AM class car, the number 98 Aston Martin car, which has been pretty consistent, I think, since the start of the race. I don't think any other car has led the GTE AM.
Oh, yeah, the 53 car has led, and the 77 car led.
Oh, yeah, that's right, they did early on, didn't they? And I'm kind of casting my mind back over the last maybe 12 hours rather than the last 16 hours. But, no, you're right, there have been other leaders. Anyway, that car has made a pit stop and has now been handed from Pedro Lamy to Paul Dalla-Lana. So that car will almost certainly not be lapping as quickly in Dalla-Lana's hands as it was doing when Pedro Lamy was driving it. But part of the rules is that you have to have one silver driver and one bronze driver in the car. And, of course, you could have two bronzes as well if that's the way you wanted to play it. And, indeed, there are some GTE AM cars. I think there's one that actually has three bronze drivers in it. One of the Porsches has three bronze drivers, so that's kind of a minimum, is to have a bronze and a silver driver.
Let's go to our Nismo pit lane team and check in with Bruce Jones.
Nick Tanney, good morning. You just walked into the garage with your helmet, come out the front to look at the weather. It's getting a bit brighter, but what was really bright was your drive last night in the 19. Was that a great tactic? Give you just one stint to start with and then give you four in the night when you could shine?
Yeah, I guess so. At the time, it seemed like I was just kind of driving around on my own. I thought we were going quite well because we seemed to be passing a lot of cars, but you know, they were keeping me up to date with kind of where we were in relation to the others, and I was keeping an eye on the pit board. But I mean, looking back now and looking over sort of the times and what's been happening overnight, it seems like we're running pretty well.
And obviously, you just had a boost because the number 7 car, I don't know if you're aware, maybe it was as you were walking in, just came in with bodywork missing, and they've lost a lap. So the 19 car sitting.
That is news, yeah.
Pretty.
That's good for us, obviously, yeah. I've literally just been woken up, and if anything happens to Nico in the car or anything, I just have to be on standby in case, but it should be a little while yet before I get back in.
Okay, well, again, well done for last night.
Thanks.
It's 7:30, and there are 7.5 hours remaining in the 83rd running of the 24 hours of Le Mans.